Matthew 8, 1 through 4, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm glad you guys got that. There's not always a resounding response when I say the word of the Lord. So we're grateful we can gather here together and hear God's word. In January, the Iowa caucuses happened, the first of the primaries for one of the political parties, and that was a really frigidly cold day. The wind chill was like below zero. There was a snowstorm. The streets were icy. People had to dig out, and so that wasn't the ideal day for it. And I think that it was easier for caucus goers to just stay home that night with a warm, chilly dinner in front of the TV, just put your feet up, kind of forget about everything. That was the easier choice than to dig out your car, get the ice off it, brave the cold, sit in an old, cold schoolhouse for hours on end. So the people that were willing to do that kind of showed that they had a trust and a faith in the candidate they supported. Their willingness to go to any length to get out there for their candidate showed their faith and their commitment. And it's really the same way with the leper in our text. The leper had barriers in his approach to see Jesus, but his willingness to go to any length to approach the crowds and see Jesus was a sign of his strong faith and a sign that he truly believed that Jesus was willing and able to heal him. The leper would have had barriers. So lepers were considered unclean by people. They were considered physically unclean. People thought that leprosy was a very contagious disease, and so they were very afraid of lepers. We now know that leprosy is actually not a very contagious disease, but that's what people thought back then. So people would avoid lepers like the plague out of fear. And they not only viewed them as physically unclean, they viewed lepers as spiritually unclean. If you were a leper, you were unable to worship at the Jerusalem temple. And I think you were allowed a place in the synagogue, but only in a back room that was isolated from everyone else. So not only were they considered physically unclean, but spiritually unclean as well. They were isolated from the community. Lepers were forced to live outside of the towns and villages that maybe they once lived in. They lived in leper colonies, and they were completely isolated. So people avoided lepers like the plague. Some rabbis even prided themselves on avoiding lepers. And if a leper were to approach, some would even spit on them or throw stones at them. They weren't very well liked among the people. Leviticus tells this about rules for defiling skin diseases. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 says, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." That added to their isolation. So lepers had to stay 6 feet away from everyone at all times. If they approached anybody, they had to cover their face and shout, "Unclean, unclean." And they had to keep an unkempt appearance. So it truly was a lonely life, an isolated life, a life filled with much suffering and pain. But imagine that scene. So this leper is approaching Jesus, and crowds are surrounding Jesus. He's just finished the Sermon on the Mount. He's descended from the mountain in Galilee, and the crowds are still following him. So this leper would have had to approach the crowd. So I want you to imagine in your mind the scene of the leper approaching Jesus. Maybe the crowds would have parted like the Red Sea before the leper, running away from him in fear. Maybe people would have stayed to watch just to see what would happen. People might not have Who knows if they had even seen a leper? But people may have mocked the leper. They may have thrown stones at him. They may have spat at him. They may have wondered, what's this guy doing approaching us? Maybe he'll get us sick. I don't think the crowds would have taken too kindly to the leper approaching them and cutting his way through them to see Jesus. But the leper was willing to take upon himself that embarrassment, that shame that would have accompanied approaching Jesus. He was willing to go to any length to see Jesus, to endure ridicule and mocking to see Jesus. Shows that he had a true belief, that he believed Jesus could heal him and that Jesus would be willing and able to do so. Thankfully, unlike the leper, we don't have all those barriers to approaching Jesus. We don't. We can read about him and his life and his compassion for sinners, his willingness to forgive, his compassion for the crowds who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We can read about our good shepherd in his word anytime we want. We have the written word available to us. That's a beautiful gift. We can kneel before him in prayer anytime we want and come before his throne of grace. We can approach Jesus anytime we want. We don't have barriers like the leper did to approaching Jesus. So I wonder if the leper were with us today, if he would wonder. You can approach the Lord Jesus so easily. Why don't you do so more often? You don't have to go through what I went through to approach the Lord Jesus. Why don't you do so more often? And like the leper, we can approach Jesus, our great physician, confidently, trusting in his compassion for sinners and in his willingness to have mercy on us, especially those whom others label as unclean or untouchable. We can give thanks that we don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to Jesus, that he is willing to have mercy on sinners. He's willing to welcome home the most far-gone prodigals. He's willing to give orphans a home. We're not beyond his reach, no matter what sin we've fallen into. Paul makes his point in 1 Timothy 1:15 through 17. He says this, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul says that in his life, Christ gave us an example of his immense patience, because Paul was, at one point, was a pretty far gone guy. He was persecuting the church viciously. He was throwing people in prison. He was approving of stonings. And he thought that by doing that, he was giving service to God. He was pretty turned around. He was pretty messed up in his thinking. But Christ turned him around and showed him mercy and then used him in powerful ways to witness to the kingdom. And so it is with us. Even if we've gotten pretty turned around, Christ is willing to receive us, willing to show us mercy, willing to use us in his service. We can return to Christ confidently, knowing that he is willing and able to heal us, and his healing power can flood our lives. So no matter what sin we've fallen into or what we're struggling with, we don't have to be afraid to come before Jesus in prayer and in his word and in the Christian community and to receive help for what we're going through, to ask the Holy Spirit and those around us to help us to flee sin and pursue righteousness. When we fall into sin, Christ doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to help us. And that is good news. Christ will help us to obey the instruction that he gave through the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, that in him we are called to put off our former ways of life, called to put off the deeds of darkness that we practiced when we were slaves to sin, and to put on the new self created in Christ Jesus to be like him and to do good works. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So we can approach the great physician confidently, knowing that he is able to help us flee from sin in our lives, but also that he has truly freed us from the penalty that our sins deserve, that he truly took our place on the cross, endured what we deserved for our sins. We can believe that he truly lived a perfect, obedient life, a life I could never live, a life that we all could never live, that we might receive his obedience through faith. We can truly believe that he has risen from the dead, showing that our two enemies, sin and death, have been thoroughly defeated. And we can truly believe that his resurrection guarantees our glorious resurrection. Our hope is all in the great physician, as the leper's hope was. May we go to any length to meet him in his word and in prayer and in the Christian community. We can approach him when we're grieving as well. We can approach the great physician confidently, knowing that he cares for us and that he is able and willing to comfort those who are suffering and grieving. He had compassion on his people. Matthew 9, 35 through 36 says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." We can trust that our good shepherd has intense compassion and love for each and every one of us. Like the leper, we can also approach Jesus humbly. Notice that the leper, he doesn't demand that Jesus heal him. He doesn't say, "Lord, you must heal me. Lord, you need to heal me. Lord, you have to heal me." He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, that sounds a lot like what Jesus had just said in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught his disciples to pray. And the model prayer he gave them was the Lord's Prayer, which includes, "Thy will, not mine, be done," or "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the leper is proving himself to be a model disciple. He's taken what Jesus has just taught and he's putting it into practice, which is what Jesus commanded us all to do at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So we, like the leper, can approach the great physician humbly in prayer. And the Heidelberg Catechism urges us to approach Jesus in prayer humbly. It says that when we pray, we acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence, trusting in his loving care and in his forgiveness and in his mercy. And like the leper, we can submit to the great physician. We can pray, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Next, our text says that Jesus touches the man. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. We see a few verses later that Jesus heals a centurion's servant, and he does so by a word. He doesn't physically touch the man at all. So from that we learn that Jesus didn't have to touch this man. He chose to. He chose to. It was a sign of his great compassion. He was willing to touch the untouchable, or what society deemed was untouchable. Jesus cared so deeply about this man that he was willing to touch the untouchable. He was willing to cleanse an unclean man who could not cleanse himself. It was quite meaningful for the man. He had lived in a leper colony, possibly for many years, and we don't know much about the backstory of this leper. But he could have been an adult when he contracted the disease, meaning he could have been married. He could have had a family. He could have had a job that he would have then had to leave after he contracted leprosy. And he really wouldn't have felt physical touch in a long time. He hadn't felt a handshake, a pat on the shoulder from a friend, or, you know, a kiss from a wife, or a hug from a child. He hadn't experienced those common shows of affection that we all take for granted. And so how meaningful was it that Jesus reached out and touched this man. And who knows what he did. Maybe Jesus put his hand on his shoulder like we would to comfort a friend or to comfort a child. Maybe Jesus purposely touched one of his deformities to show him how much he cared. We don't know, but it shows Jesus' deep compassion that he was willing to reach out and touch this man. Jesus cares about us just as deeply, and it's good for us to recognize that we are just as sick as the leper. Sin had us sicker than the leper. And if our insides were projected on our outsides so that our deformities of sin could be clearly seen, I'm sure we would look worse than the leper did. We must acknowledge that we were dead in our transgressions and sins until Christ liberated us and freed us from the tyranny of the devil. And so we remember that it is a greater miracle for the human heart to be revived and brought to faith by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That is a greater miracle than Christ healing the leper. So we can celebrate that Christ has done just as great a miracle for us as he did for the leper. And he did it at great cost to himself. It wasn't just that Jesus, he paid the price to be able to heal that leper. He paid the price to be able to heal all of us. He paid that price on the cross. He took all of our uncleanness, our sin upon himself on the cross. He took all of our isolation. We were separated and cut off from the loving God who created us. We were caught in rebellion and disobedience and cut off from God, and Jesus took that upon himself. He took our isolation upon himself on the cross. He died outside of the city, cut off from the city of which he was rightfully king for us. Jesus endured the cross that we might live, that we may be cured of our disease of sin, that we may be made completely new like this leper was. He decided to pay the price to heal our sinful hearts and our fallen world. He decided to save us from our miserable state by taking it upon himself on the cross. He bore the suffering, the isolation, and the death we deserved for our sins. He was willing to cleanse us, unclean people who could not cleanse ourselves, at the cost of his life. And his cleansing of our sins and defects is a greater miracle than his cleansing of the leper. R.C. Sproul puts it like this. He says, "When by the Spirit's call you came to Christ and humbly asked for his deliverance from the guilt and shame of your sin, he said, 'I am willing. Be clean.' So you now can stand before God cleansed of sin and clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ." And isn't that the gospel, that undeservedly we can stand faultless before Christ's throne, clothed in his perfect righteousness, free from sin's presence one day, now free from sin's penalty, and being freed from sin's power. Praise God for such a compassionate Savior. Our good shepherd saw us, sheep harassed and helpless, and he had compassion on us. He saved us from death and brought us back into his fold. And as Psalm 121 says, he watches over our coming and going both now and forevermore. He not only has saved us, but he continues to watch over us and to guard us and keep us in that salvation he has won for us. Finally, I want us to see how the leper offered his gift. We read, "Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" So this leper, he would have gone to the priests, and the priest would have inspected him to make sure he was truly cleansed of his disease, and they would have given him a certificate that he could carry around so that he could re-enter society. He could go back to his family. He could have a job. He could enter the temple. He could do all these things that he couldn't do before. So he'd have this little card that he would carry around. And the priest would help him to make the proper sacrifice. He would make a sacrifice of gratitude for his healing. So when Jesus sends this leper off to go to the priest to make his sacrifice of thanks, I wonder how the leper went about going to the priest. I don't think he just slowly and solemnly walked over to the priest. I don't think that he went home. I don't think that he went back first and, you know, did his laundry. I don't think he went and picked up his kids from school first. Or, I mean, that's pretty important. Maybe you would, but I think the leper was so happy and joyous and free. I think the leper was so filled with joy that he ran running and jumping and praising God as he went to offer his gift. I think he gave his gift generously and with joy. And in the same way, since we have been given just as much of a miracle as the leper, since we have been healed from even more than the leper was, we're called to give our gifts back to God with joy and generously and happily. So we too, I use that prayer in the offering prayer. We use this many times at Trinity. I really like this prayer. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I mean, we belong body and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we have is really his. And so we can generously give back to him what is already his, our time, our talents, our treasure, and we can do it joyfully as the leper did. So I think the leper gives us an example of joyful giving, and he gives us an example of gratitude for the salvation he had been given. May the Spirit help us to be ever more grateful for the salvation we have been given. So may we ever be mindful of the Lord's compassion, how much he has done for us, how much we have to be grateful for, how much of a miracle he has done in redeeming us and in redeeming our world. May we give him thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you sent your one and only Son to redeem us, and that you have poured out your Spirit upon us to open our eyes to the truth of the gospel, to open our eyes to the majesty of the gospel. Father, please, may we stand evermore amazed at Jesus the Nazarene and of what he has done for us. Father, please help us to cherish the word. We give you thanks that we experience so few barriers to encountering you through the word, through the fellowship of believers, and through prayer. And we give you thanks that Christ has broken down the barrier that we may enter with him your holy presence. We give you thanks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your redemption, and ask that you would continue to sanctify us by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.